people need to get their song.
We're good? Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm excited to be back with you guys. I think this is the third time. I look forward to this every year. But this is the third time. And it sounds like I've got a little bit of expectation of luck too. So hopefully this isn't the day that you're like, no, it's going to play out now. It's going to move on from here. But I can't say enough about the elders and the shepherds here for this topic. We continue to deal with things that are not easy to talk about, but that are really relevant, and hopefully we've got a little bit of fun doing so. I think as we kind of peel back the layers of what I have to talk about today, maybe we can laugh a little bit too. We're going to talk about some serious things, though. I think this is the right topic to kick off the day. I think I'm the right person to kick off the day, because the past 2 years I've gone before lunch, and I get excited, and I talk a while, and that turns out to not work out well for folks that are hungry. And then I went after lunch last year, and everyone was asleep and nothing to worry, and wanted to take a nap and having to listen to me. So they were like, you know what, we'll put Marcus first, and that way he'll know that we have to get out of there for the next guy, and maybe I'll cut down on this name. Good luck. We're going to find out. We got folks from San Diego here. Where else are we from this morning?
Miami.
You guys are awesome and quiet. Okay, let's go down the way. I'm silly, I walk a lot, it's kind of crazy, and I'm perfectly comfortable with uncomfortable silence. So somebody's going to talk today and help me out a little bit.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. Long way. Awesome, fantastic. Are you guys the furthest to come down? Is that the furthest trip on the day? Yeah. We're going to get a whole part today anyway. I know that it'll be only 4 hours.
It's only 4 hours.
There's this thing called a sciatica that's recently about that now. So, here's what I'm talking about the existence of God today, and there's some great topics lined up. I'm going to stick around and listen to Dan. I'm really excited to hear him talk about the scripture, which is one of the big fronts that we can work on with this. But there are lots of different angles that we can approach this from. Who in here knows people that do not believe that God exists? Yeah? Who in here knows people that may be teachers or folks that are professionals, well accomplished, and generally decent people that still say they don't believe God exists? Who in here has ever heard someone say, you can be a good person without believing in God? Yeah, we hear that all the time, right? Okay. There are a couple different angles that we can kind of answer this. Okay? We could talk about cosmological arguments. Remember last year we talked about what they won't tell you in school, and we put all the big scientists of the time up and let them convict themselves of the things they're actually saying. We've had everybody know the graph types now, and let them explain to you that life is probably a simulation created by a programmer somewhere who puts the rules in place, and we say, well, that's exactly what God's been saying the whole time through the Bible. He just read it one time, you'd understand we're in the same place. He just really hates the programmer, and we just really love him. We could talk about cosmological arguments. We could talk about the way that science and metaphysics and those sorts of topics that are really super particular now have proved that there is a realm outside of the natural senses and all of the science that they said they could prove away God with. We could talk about teleology. Anybody know teleology? Teleology? The argument from design. And we know that things are so perfectly put in place here that they had to be done that way on purpose.
I brought a picture card with me. Some people are like, uh-oh, what's he about to do?
We're not going to gamble today. Does anybody gamble? Anybody like to gamble?
Won't you do it?
Don't you do it? Either we play go fish, solitaire. So those are safe ones.
Yeah, we got poker, poker players right there. They're not going to do it.
I promise they're not going to do it. This is being recorded. We can't do that today, okay? But this is how I'm going to demonstrate teleology really quick, because if we can look at things like the distance of the Earth from the Sun, how in this perfect golden rock know that only life can exist here, only water can be on the Sun because of the only place, and the levels of different, hydrogen in our atmosphere and oxygen that are perfectly tuned so that we can exist exactly as we are. And if one little fraction of variable was off, we wouldn't be here, and scientists will look at us and they'll say, well, it just so happened that everything lined up perfectly, and that's why we're able to live where we are, and it doesn't mean there's a distance of design. Now, I've shuffled these cards in the game with a little hungry. Yeah. Do this. Okay? Now, we'll resolve some cards, and we'll just see how this works out. Let's draw the card. That's a jack. That's pretty good. So, it doesn't get the ace that I just drew. Okay,
wrong one? Okay, I'll give you a second. Here we go.
Wrong one. Make a React. Not a stage, not the rock. Want me to draw a cartoon? Where? Not a good morning to you. Well, come on, look here, look here. Any
color.
What do you got? Seven diamonds. I'm gonna roll this money. Look, okay. Last one. We're gonna do this for a while. We got a lot of variables here. You can pick any card out of the deck. What do you got? Four straight aces, Will. That's pretty good odds, right? Now let me say to you this, there is a statistical probability that it is possible that everything aligns when I shuffle this deck that I drew four straight aces and he drew a bunch of losers on it. That's possible. What's more likely to have happened? I stacked the deck. I manipulated the card. I designed this little game, not to humiliate Will, but to just prove a point that if we've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of variables and choices, and there's only one possible way that all of this works, is it true that it's possible things could just snap together all at once, one in a 20 trillion? I guess if we really want to play the odds. But is it really that likely that that's how it happens? No. Is that a very good bet to take? Yeah. So we are betting folks, and we already established that nobody here is absolutely a betting folks. But you know some betting folks, and you can say that if I were a betting folks, I would not get so good that all of this just happened magically by accident. Because to me it looks like we're playing with a little bit of a stacked deck in our favor, and that means somebody has to manipulate the deck. And if there's somebody that's manipulating the deck, you can call him whatever you want, but we like to call him God. So there's teleology. We can't spend a lot of time on that this morning, but I just want to know there are lots of different ways to attack this existence of God question. Someone was there to arrange the deck and create the card. But the topic that the topic of another one we're going to talk about mostly this morning was the topic of morality. And I agree with this, because I mean, this approach to the existence of God actually sets the stage for everything that we want to talk about, and it ties into everything that we deal with on a daily basis, no matter how young we are, no matter how old we are. We have this idea or concept of morality. So what is morality? Someone answered me. What's morality? Do you have an idea? There's another way to say morality. We start talking very early on about how we know we've done something right or wrong. Right? What's that word? Your conscience. Anybody have a conscience? You can raise your hand if you have a conscience. You don't have that start. You got a conscience. Okay? Okay. Our conscience tells us inherently that there are some things that are just right and some things that are just wrong. Doesn't it? Anybody disagree with that message? Some of the terms that I talked about before, some of those folks have said that they do not believe in God, but they believe they can be a good person. They actually try to think or exist in the world where they say there's actually no real right or wrong. Does that sound crazy? Have you ever heard anybody say something like that before? You know, what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. You ever heard someone say something like, we have no right to force our beliefs on anybody else? Just because you believe that doesn't mean that it's right. Because I might believe something and that could be right for me. Okay? So I want to talk about morality this morning because everything is relative. And there's no real right or wrong. Then that means that there's no real higher standard. And if there's no real higher standard, then that means that I can't really say anyone should or shouldn't do anything. I can't say that anyone ought to or ought not to do anything. And I can't say that anything that you do, or I do, or anybody else does, is actually right or wrong. The most I could ever say is, I don't like that very much. Now, if I stack the deck against Will, and make it feel very bad, you guys would say that's probably not right, right? Well, I would say to you this morning that if it's true that there is no God, the most you could actually ever say is, we don't like that very much. But you couldn't actually say that it's wrong. Why would I say something like that? Let's lay out what morality actually is. I'm going to give two different versions of this for everybody in the room. We're going to say morality this morning, for the purpose of our talk, is an understanding about what is right and wrong, an understanding about what is just and unjust, that is not established by our desires, what we like, what we feel, what our preferences are, but instead is recognized to be outside of our own desires and preferences. And not only that, but that morality is how we judge ourselves and our desires and our preferences. So here is the moral argument stated formally. This is for the academics in the room. This is for the teachers in the room. We can say this. If it is true that there are objective binding moral obligations, in other words, that it would be innocent to consider that there is definitely such a thing as right and wrong. True or false? Real or not real? Then, God exists. Second, there are definitely real binding moral obligations. We can definitely say that right and wrong actually do exist. That just and unjust actually do exist. Therefore, God exists. Following me? We're going to unclutter all of that kind of really, really foolish sounding stuff here for the next few minutes with some examples. And basically, what we're saying is that if there is such a thing as right and wrong, then God exists. And because we know there is a real thing such as right and wrong, then God definitely exists. With me so far? You want to take Clay? Who did you? You got some sister thinking? Yeah? Is that just from Halloween?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What was the trick or treat for you? See, there you go. You just really committed to the character. I like it. Was it you? You did. Was that right or wrong? Right? You know, the worst to do this one. Okay. So, here's what I want to say to you. Everybody knows people say that they don't believe in God, and everybody knows people that say that they don't believe that we need God to be good people, and for those people, they would have to say, in the world that they live in, that eternal, real, objective standard or an immovable standard for right and wrong doesn't actually exist. But I think this morning we can prove that though they say that, they actually live in a different world, right? What's one of the things that's going on in our world today? People are fighting over a lot of stuff, and a lot of them are moral issues, aren't they? People are fighting over content. Is it right or wrong to fight for the environment? People are fighting over social issues, right? There are a lot of countries in our world right now where there's a crazy amount of unrest and fighting going on about the way that people are being treated, right? People are fighting over racial issues right now. There's a lot of unrest in our country. That's a moral issue. Is it right to judge someone just because they're from somewhere different or look a little bit different? People are fighting over equality issues for women and men and all these different things. These are all actually moral and ethical issues. So isn't it interesting that the same world that tells us there is no absolute right or wrong is telling us that what is happening to people of all different kinds and places in this world is wrong? That's kind of strange, right? So we have a world that's asking us to say one thing and live totally different. So there's a problem. I need your help for a second, okay? We're going to try and demonstrate this a little bit. And it's totally possible that you guys break this example. So try not to. We won't know until it's over. And I might be able to hide it from you. So we're just going to go, okay? I need someone's help. Someone says something to me that is really, really, really wrong. What's wrong?
Murder.
Lie. Oh, they're really passionate about that. What was it? Someone out there yells, murder, like they witnessed one. Lying, and they lied about it too. So lying and murder, killing someone. Something else came out. What else is wrong, really wrong? Lastly, wrong? Okay, now we're going to do a little touchy theological. All right, so let's work with this. You said telling somebody is wrong, okay? How do you know that? Do the Ten Commandments that you shouldn't tell somebody that I thought not guilt, that's true. What if we didn't have the Ten Commandments, though? Okay? So it starts to get a little bit funny, doesn't it? If we take the Ten Commandments away, now we know people that don't believe in the Ten Commandments, but say they don't believe in God, but they would still say that killing somebody is wrong, right? I mean, any cop, any law enforcement officer, any person that's in any kind of band of public service to say you're killing somebody is wrong. Even the most rabid atheist would say you're wrong to kill people a lot. Those fighters of the social causes are saying it's wrong to kill. If you're wrong to lie or murder, what's the difference between murder and killing, by the way? I'm kidding. Different conversation for a different day. So let me ask you this. How is it that you could know that killing someone was wrong if there wasn't a higher power, higher standard, or God that told us that it was? Could we do it? No? But look, much further down this rabbit hole than you think, because people have really, really strong moral convictions, and everyone knows, because this is what I've heard someone say before, I think I might say this sometime, you know, I say, well, why do you think it's wrong if you don't believe in God? And I'll say, well, does everyone know it's wrong to kill people? And they'll say, oh, really? There are lots of people being killed every day, and they don't seem to find any problem with it. Is that how it really works? And if we really don't have a creator, then we're really just kind of smart animals. Okay, that's what they're calling for, really just animals. But let me ask you a question. Anybody have pets? 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 Okay. What kind of pets? Are you a pet?
Cat.
Got some cats? What's wrong with this one? Anything else besides cats? Dogs?
Fish?
Okay. Anybody have a particularly murderous cat? Everybody's laughing because they all really are. They wake up in the morning and they rub your leg and they're like, hey, give me some food, even though they were out all night killing innocent animals. They might even bring it to you as tribute, like, hey, I brought you something. And you're like, why did you bring me enough? It's a terrible thing. So if we're really just animals, I have a question. Are cats evil? I mean, they might be, because they're kind of looking down the side of their sometimes. Cats just look to it like... Yeah, I mean, we have this problem with cats. We love cats, but only because they're little, right? The same look that a little cat gives me, like if I was big enough, I would totally kill you right now. We have big cats and they do run around just killing stuff. But nobody looks at Simba and says Simba is evil. You know how Simba stayed alive? He killed a lot of gazelles. Is it wrong for Simba to kill gazelles? Do you think you should look at Simba and say, you are a bad lion? Because you killed an animal. Would you ever look at Simba and say that? No, why? Because he's doing what lions do. That's what animals do. So we don't apply. We say, hey, we're just kind of complex animals. But we would always say it's wrong for a human to kill a human, but we would never say it's wrong for a lion to kill an animal. Does that make any sense at all? So the same professor, the same teacher, the same scientist, the same philosopher that's going to tell you that there is no objective right and wrong, that everything is relative and based on your culture, the same person that's going to say you're really just an animal and there's no God, is going to tell you it's wrong for you to kill stuff. And they're going to go home and watch National Geographic, and when they see a lion kill something, they're going to be like, yeah! So simple! It's beautiful! Nature is just so majestic! It's incredible! But they don't want us to live in that world, do they? What do you think, Jerry? It's not consistent, is it? It's a little bit broken, right? Yeah. We're going to keep going down this rabbit hole really quick, okay? So, we keep insisting that people have this great dignity and worth and right. And our culture is different from almost any other culture that has existed so far. Because what happened about 100 years ago, people started to say weird things like, well, we can't believe in God because the Bible talks about a bunch of miracles, and we can pretty much prove through natural science that scientists that miracles don't exist. Well, no one will say that anymore because they started experimenting with quantum physics and they're like, oh yeah, stuff gets kind of crazy out there when you break it down to a small part. So they aren't even making that argument anymore. And now they're really getting tickled because we found out that people continue to live in this world where they believe that there's a right and wrong, and no matter what we say or what we teach, we can't escape this reality that we have rules. But there are rules to life and existence that everyone believes exist. And the problem is we can't live with them and we can't live without them. That's how I observe about women. Someday you'll understand. Okay? Well, did you understand there's no life? There's no life? What's the plot of life? How's the life get? How the life? What about this? I was there for the first 11. That's a whole lot of action, you know? Maybe I won't be invited to meet travels anymore. First 11 was one of the greatest films of all time, but I like Will Smith, so we're cool. So what's the plot of the life? The life we got... Princess Jasmine, She's in the palace, and she desperately wants to what? Get out of the palace. Why? Because she has three rules inside the palace. And then we got Aladdin.
Rick Rat.
Street Rat. And he wants to get in the palace. Because looking inside the palace and outside of Aladdin's dream is all about living life free, and it would be beautiful and wonderful. But outside of the walls, well, I'm like, actually, it kind of stinks out here. I'd like to get in there where I've all these walls to protect me. And this escaped me for a long time. But the story of Aladdin is really just us examining the fact that though we really don't want to have these laws of right and wrong, and we don't really want to be bound to these laws of death and unrest, deep down, we all actually know that we are. But you can't live with them, and you can't live without them. This is just how we are. So people, no matter what we have been saying, have strong moral convictions. People in our culture know unavoidably that there is a God because of these moral convictions, and we're actually forced to repress or suppress what we know. And I would say that the argument for God, for morality, for the presence of our consciousness, for the presence of right and wrong, for the presence of just and unjust, is actually just a fight between wanting to think in one world and saying that there is no God, and live in another, saying that we actually have to value and honor the human being, the dignity, every human being, no matter where they are or what culture they come from. The only way that can be true is if there is a higher standard that says it. Because for the history of the world, people have never lived like that. It just happened. And if evolution is dictating, if natural selection is dictating, then we have no reason to live like that. There's really no reason why bullying should be wrong. But the reason bullying is wrong? Yeah, we don't like bullying. You are a bully. Why are you shaking your head? You've been bullying me since before you could talk. Now everybody knows. I'm kidding. It is fantastic. So, now we're going to talk about obligation for a few minutes. And then we're going to see a little bit about what the Bible says about morality. And then we're going to tie this whole thing together. Usually we hear this, no one should force their morals or views on other people because why? Everyone has the what? Everyone has the right to choose.
Is that really true?
You know, there's a funny little man in North Korea right now. He's doing a lot of bad things for a lot of people. Do you think that he has the right to do that to them? You know, there's a big fight in Hong Kong right now about what the Chinese government says they have the right to do to people. Are they really? Is that a problem? You know, there were some big fights in this country back in the day about what we're allowed to do to people and have the right to do to people, but it would infringe on other people's rights. You know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, all of those things. Is that really true, that everyone has the right to find truth for themselves? Do you believe that? Are there people in the world that are doing things that don't just conflict with what you like and what you think ought to be done, but that you can say are actually wrong? Are there people living like that right now? Amen. But what I'm getting at is, let's stop arguing about these specific issues for just a second. If we're both trying to defend our position in our personal life by saying everyone has a right to choose what they think is right and what they think is wrong, then you need to realize you have absolutely no right to say anything to anybody about anything that they actually do. And I don't think anybody likes the implications. I don't think anybody likes the outcome of what that world actually looks like. Yeah, we know some lack of better terms. Some kid at school who's a bully, and you tell him, hey, that's wrong, and he says something crazy like, says who? And does anybody realize that this idea that there is no God actually puts us in that situation as a human race? That if there is no God, you can go to someone and say, hey, it's wrong to kill somebody, and the best you can respond with is, says who? Is that a really strong foundation to build a society? Is that a really strong foundation to build your own personal concept of who you are and how you're going to live and how you're going to act? Say who? No. So that's survival of the fittest. We all have these moral feelings, and we feel obligated to defend them. We can call it our conscience. We all believe deep down that there is a standard that exists outside of ourselves. There are certain things that ought not to be done, no matter how somebody feels about it, no matter whether someone likes it, no matter whether it's always been done that way or not, no matter whether the culture, the community around them actually says they should do it or not. Everyone believes that women have rights just like men, do we not? There are some places in the world that don't believe that. And I've not found an atheist that has told me that we shouldn't be advocating for those human rights in those other places. But what basis and what ground do they have to make that kind of assertion? What gives them the right, I would ask, to go anywhere else, to any other culture, and say, hey, you have to accept the way my culture looks at things because it's better. Now, wait a second. You're advocating for rights on the premise or the basis that your way is better than someone else's way? Or that you are better than someone else? Do we realize that's what has gotten us into most of the trouble from the beginning of history until now anyway? We're fighting this circular fight, racism, all these inalienable rights that we fight for people and are concerned for people. They're trying to teach us and tell us that all morality is just cultural. But we can't actually live like that, can we? I don't think we ever have, I don't think we ever will, we certainly aren't right now. We as humans always will treat some principles as just right and just wrong. You guys named a few good ones, right? That has always been the case and is always going to be the case. Even people that don't believe in God still do this. Nobody will defend genocide. There's some people who are in trouble in Northern Syria right now.
Probably the most famous genocide in history is, of course, what happened in Nazi Germany. This is kind of a dark turn to the conversation that we're having. But the reality is, and we have to say this, if there is no God, then the most we can say about what the Germans did to the Jews was that we don't like it. We don't like what the guys did there. We would prefer if you stopped. Please don't ever do this again. Not very nice. But that wasn't the verdict on Nazi Germany, was it? Reprehensible, abominable, abhorrent. It was what? Wrong. Do you know what the Nazis said when they got on trial after the war? What did they say? They said, you know what? We don't believe what we were doing was immoral. It was the law of our land. Our culture said that these people were not human, so we don't feel anything about what we did to them. And you know what the verdict came back and said? It said, we don't care. We don't care what you think was okay in Germany. We don't care what your law was and what your culture said. And it literally says, there is a higher law to which we are all amenable, was the word. There is a higher standard. There is a morality outside of our cultural morality that we're all judged by. And you guys have fallen so inexplicably short of that, it's almost hard to fathom that we ever ended up here. Nobody will defend genocide. I want to talk about one other argument here real quick that makes the argument that God does not exist from a moral perspective even worse. Because what is the famous battle been for maybe the last 100 years? It's been between what? Evolution and God. And things like evolution kind of became the power play against God. If we can explain how things evolve from a single cell, we don't need God to create. And if we can do that, then we have no problem with looking to kick God out. I want to give you a little bit of ammunition and firepower. Is that okay? Because if evolution is true, it actually makes more problems for what we see from humanity than it does solutions. And here's what I mean. If evolution is true, there's this thing called natural selection that kicks in a lot. And natural selection says that basically survival of the fittest. Traits and behaviors that contributed to the survival of the race get kept and passed on to the next descendant in the line. Things that do not contribute to the survival and ascendancy of the race do not get kept, and they get kicked out of the gene pool. Do you know what is something that is a hallmark or trademark of the human existence that we value above almost anything else that cannot be explained by natural selection? Sacrificial virtue. How is it that if deep down we're really just coded to survive, that something like understanding a man willing to lay down his life for his friends could become the thing of the most noble, honorable, best thing that a person could ever do, even though all it does is wipe that person from existence? It doesn't mesh with evolution.
nothing about that message with evolution. If it's true that only the things that keep you alive are the valuable things, then something like sacrifice, empathy, should never have developed in humanity. But what happens when you see someone picking on someone at school or in a playground or whatever? What happens? Don't you feel that deep down, I should say something, I should stop that, I should say something? Well, what happens when you see someone truly in need and they're not having clothes or food this holiday season as it starts to get cold, and inside you know you've got to protect you and your family, but deep down you have this urge, you have this sin, you can't get rid of it, but I should help this person, I should do more, I should be better. What happens when you see a little kid on the front lawn that looks like his face is stitched together, and he's so he's been that way for 3 days, and he's just like, I gotta do something to wipe his face later. What is in people cannot have been put there by evolution? What is in people to recognize good and bad, right and wrong, just and unjust, can't have been put there by natural selection. Because I can guarantee you one thing. We talked about Simba. I want to guarantee you one thing. There's not one lion in the Serengeti who saw a lion kill an antelope and sat over there on the side judging him like that was really unjust when he did that antelope right there. That was not good. That's just bad. That's a bad look for the whole lion race. We gotta stop doing that. We gotta stop. Maybe we can go vegan. I hear there's some people who are doing some crazy things. We can just eat some chicken. It'll be great. You get all the protein you need. I watched something on Netflix the other day. There's no lion in the Serengeti saying that.
Not at all.
You see, we can't get even to this argument unless something else happens with the deck we've been playing with that can only be explained by the existence of a God who made us this way. We are made in God's image, and God's chief virtue is that He has a love so sacrificial and so deep that He would be willing to die for us just to see us be able to continue on. And every time we run up against this, every time someone makes a sacrificial act, every time someone lifts a car off of someone on the highway, that's what happens by the way, every time someone reaches out and puts themselves in jeopardy, jumps into a river after someone who's drowning that they don't even know, every time you see something like that happen, steps in front of a bus and pulls someone out of the way, you are seeing an echo of something that cannot be explained unless God. There's nothing natural about that. Evolution makes this argument against God even worse. Lastly on this, nature is red in tooth and claw. It is survival of the fittest. The reason why lions are the king of the jungle is because they pretty much take care of everything else. That's how nature works. Strong survive, the weak get eaten. And if people are just animals, without a doubt, without war, without anything right or wrong, at its very base core, then we have this weird thing we've been trying to do where we say, yeah, nature is red and truth and calm, but even though we're a part of nature, we have to stop doing that. Even though it has absolutely no reason to, even though there is no absolute or objective standard of right and wrong, we have to stop doing what actually evolved us here. Now we have to be civil. Now we have to care about human rights. Now the strong has to stop being the weak. Now the strong has to start lifting up the weak, and it's totally contrary to everything that they are trying to teach us. Why? Because that's not how it happens to be human. So says who? I'm going to ask this question as we close down. Says who? One Ivy League, we'll just say one super smart professor wrote like this not too long ago. He said, in the absence of God, each ethical and legal system will be differentiated by the answer it chooses to give to one key question. Who among us ought to be able to declare law that ought to be obeyed? Stated that badly, he says, the question is so unsettling that one finds ethical thinkers trying not to come to grips with it. Now basically, he's saying, if there is no God, then who is to decide what's actually right and wrong and what should be law among us? And this is such a big problem for us right now that nobody really wants to talk about it. So he says this, either God exists or he does not. If he does not, then nothing and no one else can take his place. Nothing can explain you quite the way God does.
If there is no God, then there is no way to say that any action is either immoral or moral. There's no way to say that any action is just or unjust or unjust. There's no right or wrong. There's only I don't like this and I like this. If that's the case, who gets to decide whose feelings ought to become the law of the land? I think we struggle with this right now in society, and I hope we don't. That same professor went on to say this. As things are now, everything is up for grabs. Nevertheless, burning babies is bad, serving the poor and wicked, buying and selling each other is depraved, and there is such a thing as evil. All together now. Says who? And he finishes by saying, God help us. God said himself, in an answer to a question about morality, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus would go on and amend that commandment and give a greater one later by saying, love one another as I have loved you. That sounds like a much more firm basis and foundation for morality than what we're currently trying to deal with today, doesn't it? Living just because I have been just to you. You love because I have loved you. You treat one another well because I have set this debt in your favor. We would be wise not to ignore it. If no God, no right or wrong. And there definitely is a right or wrong. Thank you guys for your time.